of food and socks and gloves and all sorts of things all stacked up, and it looked beautiful. And that was taken to the George Whitfield Centre, and there was a crowd of people outside, a crowd of people inside, and loads of people just eating and all sorts going on. And hopefully we're going to hear a little bit about what's going on there now from Dave and Aid. And we haven't heard from Mike Curtis. We were trying to work it out and think it was about 18 months ago that we saw Mike Curtis. So you're very welcome, and we're looking forward to what you have to say to us.
Yeah, that sounds promising. Just doing a quick outfit change because I realised I didn't have anything to strap a mic to on my jumper. So this makes sense, having this top on. Just getting myself comfortable now, sorry. There we go. Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Lady that was heckling. Excellent. I'm going to talk for roughly about 20 minutes. So if I get to 20 minutes and I'm still going, full flow, just shout at me, okay? Excellent. That's good. It's always good to... I don't have to get my phone out now, so that's fine. When the cricket bat came out, I thought we were going to get an update on the one-day score. But, still praying that England are going to win that, which would be good. It's great to be here. It's great to be... I know it's not quite Tewkesbury, but we've been in Tewkesbury 2 weeks ago and twinning now. It's just really encouraging to be in this neck of the woods, because there seems to be so much going on with churches together and with churches praying together and meeting together. And, you know, as we start a new year, the mission really is the same, but how we go about that, how we do that, how we witness in that, how we go about working together as churches, and how we go about building the kingdom, which is essentially our mission, it's really encouraging to see Tewkesbury churches and Twinning. Is Twinning part of Tewkesbury? This is my... Yeah, it is. Yeah. Steady. I've got 18 minutes left yet. All right. Twinning's part of... Yeah. I thought it was, but I didn't want to offend anybody, so I thought I'd double check. I know sometimes church down get a bit offended if you say it's part of Gloucester. Or they think they're part of Cheltenham, but they're not really. In Gloucester, just to give you sort of a bit of an idea, the last Churches Together meeting I went to in Gloucester, it started off by them saying that they didn't need insurance anymore because they didn't do anything. So they were paying for insurance for no reason whatsoever. And I kind of thought, well, surely the whole point of Churches Together is that you do something. So surely you've missed the point if you're not doing anything together. And the fact that you just got rid of your insurance because you're not going to do anything together negates the fact that you meet together in the first. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So it's great that Tewkesbury is miles ahead of Gloucester in that respect. And it's really encouraging to be here and to see you guys. I've not been here before. Got some friends in Twinning, so I've been to Twinning before, but not been here. I know Mike, my predecessor, has been. So I'm not going to go into lots of details about Gloucester City Mission and how we've got to where we are. I'm just probably going to talk about maybe the last 2 years, 18 months, and just bring you up to speed on what we're doing now at the George Whitfield Centre, how that's going, what that's looking like, and maybe a little bit about what the future may hold for us, what we're praying into essentially, and what we'll be inviting you to pray into with us. Because essentially, as we sang in the first song, if God is not at the heart of what we're doing, if God is not the centre of what we're doing, then we don't want to be doing it. So we need to be very clear about what we're doing and about what we want to see moving forward, that's God's plan and that's not just our plan. So is that okay? And if anybody's got any questions, feel free to ask at any time, although we'll try and leave a little bit of time at the end for some questions. But if you do want to ask anything, just shout out. So Gloucester City Mission started 15 years ago by Mike. fast forward 13 years and I came onto the scene as Mike was retiring. Mike and I worked alongside each other for about 6 months. Mike retired and then I carried on at Gloucester City Mission on a part-time basis. And I was working at Gloucester City Homes at the same time, so Housing Association, working in their homeless team. We moved from where we were at Park Street into the George Whitfield Centre, and we brought with us as well the nurses and the homeless healthcare team that were at the day centre in Gloucester before that closed. So now we operate a meal on a Wednesday morning, as we used to do. We still do that, and we see roughly somewhere in the region of 50 to 60 people coming in within about an hour and a half. On a Tuesday and a Friday afternoon, we open from 2 till 4. People can come in, have a shower, do their washing, get a change of clothes, get a sleeping bag, have something to eat, get some housing advice, see a medical team. The nurses are there 5 days a week. Doctors are there 4 mornings a week. And then the food bank is the other side of the building. So same building, but just the other side of the wall. So quite a lot of stuff happening in one place, in one building. And that's very deliberate. That's very deliberate. We work with people who have got drug and alcohol issues, people who have got mental health problems, people who have got whatever stops them maintaining that accommodation, really. We work with people who are rough sleeping, sofa surfing, squatting, supported accommodation, long-term B&B, people that are in social housing, they have their own tenancies, but they're lonely, they're isolated, they'll come up and see us just for a cup of tea and something to eat, just have a chat. Sometimes they don't have anything to eat, they just come in and just want to have a chat with somebody. They'll people in mental health accommodation. So we see like a wide variety of people, and we also run a Saturday night outreach as well into the city centre. So AD and I were both out last night, right into the heart of Gloucester, going to where people are and serving them where they are. And that was the key thing with Project Beacon, with the Saturday night outreach. It was about going to where people are and not having that expectation that they'll come to us. And that's very much our weekly expectation. We still do have teams that will go out on a Wednesday and provide food in the city centre for people that don't come to the centre. But we deliberately have a different focus on a Saturday. It's deliberately about going out to where they are. And last night we probably saw around about 20 people out in the city, roughly. Yeah. Not all of those were rough sleeping. Some would have been rough sleeping, some would have been squatting, some would have been in different types of accommodation. What we've done as well this year, some of you may have seen locally in the press, is that we teamed up with another organisation called Emmaus, and we opened up a winter shelter in Gloucester, so we can take up to 15 rough sleepers every night of the week. And that'll run from the 5th of January right through until the end of March. So that's a big project for us. It's a massive project for us. We've had to take on staff, take on extra volunteers. So we have 2 members of staff working every night. We have volunteers come in from 8 o'clock at night till about 10 o'clock. And they'll serve tea and coffee, get towels for people to go and have a shower, toiletries, that sort of thing, fresh clothes. They'll serve out a meal, so when people come in, they'll have a hot meal, opportunity to have a shower, something to eat. They'll have an opportunity to have a hot drink and somewhere warm and safe to stay. We've had, in that time that we've been open, 48 individual referrals, all of which have been from inside Gloucestershire. We've had no out-of-county referrals, so quite high numbers, considering that on Thursday, government statistics came out around rough sleeping. Now, I didn't ask this at the start, I normally do, because I got caught out twice last year. Is there anybody here who works for a local authority? Good.
Thank you.
Woo! I did get caught out twice last year, and it was quite embarrassing afterwards, because I got pulled up by 2 people who were very unhappy that I had dared to criticise local council. And it wasn't the fact that I'd criticised local council, I was just, in my opinion, very much saying the truth, which is still what I believe we're doing today. So on Thursday, figures were announced that there's been a 15% increase in rough sleeping nationally. Some of you may have seen that floating that statistic being put around. In the southwest, there was an increase of 17% on figures from last year. In Gloucester, we saw a decrease of 35%. So I was a little bit confused. I was a little bit confused by this because, so essentially, Gloucester Council is saying that we have 15 rough sleepers. Now, in the last 3 weeks, the outreach team have referred 30 people into the winter shelter, all from Gloucester. So straight away, I'm a little bit, hold on, I don't think that's quite right. I went to the meeting where they decided there was 15 rough sleepers, and I won't bore you with all the details, but it was a little bit farcical. Would you have any idea about how many people would be rough sleeping in Tewkesbury, officially?
Two or three.
Yeah. I thought you were putting your hand up there.
One.
You can think of one. Two or three. Yeah, you're right. Officially, statistically, it's two. Tewkesbury Baptist that we were at 2 weeks ago, they thought it was about two. And a lot of the agencies that we work with in and around Tewkesbury, they would say it's about two as well. So two rough sleepers that they know of. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. If faith groups, councils and statutory agencies are coming up with the same sort of number, you can be quite confident that it's probably you're there or thereabouts. I think the issue is when you've got one organisation saying one number, another organisation saying another number, and then another organisation in the middle with something completely different, it just doesn't add up. So these are the kind of conversations that now Gloucester City Mission are involved in, and it's really encouraging that the councils, from my point of view, are wanting to engage with faith groups and with organisations that work frontline with people who are rough sleeping and in and out of accommodation on a regular basis, because going back 5 years, these conversations never happened. So it's good, you know, we've moved on. It's good that the council want to have some input. It's good that they are asking us questions. It's good that they send people to us to look at questionnaires around public health, to interview homeless people, because they know if they come to us, they're more likely to answer their questions. So it's good. It's good from our point of view that we can build those relationships, and we continue to work with the council to try and advocate a clearer picture for those that are rough sleeping. We work with a real variety of people. We work with people who have got some real severe mental health problems, people who have got some real severe drug and alcohol dependencies. And when you have got addiction issues, you don't think in the same way that maybe I would or you would. It's things just don't sort of make that kind of sense. You may have seen the poster campaign that went out in Gloucester recently, attracted a lot of local and national news. There was a campaign that was put out by the council to say about not giving money to people that are on the streets, which, to be fair, is something that I advocate. If you see someone who's rough sleeping, or you think could be rough sleeping, or they're begging on the streets, in my opinion, it's better to buy them a cup of tea or coffee or something to eat, because I think a lot of people want to know that their money is going to something positive. They want to know their money is going to something that's going to provide them with some substance. I don't think people want their money or want to know that their money is going towards a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction. The reality is, if that person has got a drug or alcohol addiction, if they don't get money, they've still got that drug and alcohol addiction, and they'll turn to other things to get that money. So whether that be street crime, shoplifting, prostitution, any of those things. And for my, you know, for me personally, I would rather see a female begging on the streets than in a dark alley prostituting herself to earn that money. I'd rather see her safe on the street begging. So, you know, for me, I don't have massive issues with begging in the grand scale of things. For me, begging is just a little bit of homelessness that you can see. That's all it is. In reality, when we're talking about 2017, I think statistically we're saying on any given night in England, there was roughly 4,700 people sleeping on the streets. If you're talking about people who are not necessarily homeless, but or defined as homeless but not necessarily rough sleeping, those figures are even greater. Last Christmas we were talking about 120,000 children who were homeless at Christmas. These are the sort of figures we're talking about, because people are in emergency B&Bs. They don't have the same sort of rights that you would have in a private tenancy or in supported accommodation. Again, supported accommodation, you couldn't go and you couldn't decorate your own room, for example. You couldn't, you know, there's lots of things you could and couldn't do in these accommodations that you just, well, I do, I just kind of take for granted, you know, in my own. One of the meetings I went to back in November that I spoke about, I said was a little bit farcical. I'll give you an example of one of the people that we were talking about, and you can decide for yourselves whether you think this person is rough sleeping or not. So a guy has found a caravan on a private bit of property. This caravan has got no electric, no gas, no water. He's got no access to food. The door's broken and the window's broken. So this this guy's found this caravan. He can't take it anywhere. It's got no wheels or anything. It's firmly broken where it is. And it's not like a static caravan type of thing. It literally is just a broken caravan. Like I say, doors, windows broken. The owner of the land has found out that this guy is living in the caravan, and he's reported him as being on his land as rough sleeping. But he has said to the outreach teams and to services that have gone to approach this guy, I'm happy for him to stay here for a couple of weeks till you can sort something out. Would you sort of think this guy's homeless or not homeless in the grand scale of things? There's no right or wrong answer here, by the way. Just I'm not gonna be pointing anybody out or anything, don't worry. Yeah, would you say he's homeless, not homeless? You sort of think he's homeless. He's got a caravan, Mike. Yeah. That's right.
It's not homeless until the landowner says, well, I've been there.
Technically, yeah. Yeah. So this guy wasn't included in Gloucester statistics as rough sleeping because the owner of the land had said he didn't mind him being there for that period that they were looking at for the count. So the fact that there's no water, there's no electric, there's no gas, the window's broken, the door's broken, he's got no tenancy, he's got no legal right to be there, because the owner of the land has said, well, you know, he ain't got anywhere else to go, so you can stay there for a couple of weeks. That's housed. That's a result. You know, so this is sort of arguments that we can't, not arguments, this sort of discussions that we have with people, because certainly from Gloucester City Mission's point of view, he's not housed, he's homeless. He needs help, he needs support, we need to advocate for him, because it's quite clear that nobody else is really gonna do that. So that's really kind of where we're at with some of the stuff that's going on. The winter shelter has been a real big focus for Gloucester City Mission. It's something that we've not done before. It's something that we're really excited to be able to be part of. Like I say, we're able to house up to 15 people a night. We have an average of probably about 13 people in each night. Some people we've managed to move on in those 3 weeks. We've managed to successfully move on or help move on up to 9 people, which is good. We see a lot of people who come to us for some nights and then go off and stay with friends for other nights, go back into hospital, maybe go recall back to prison. Go and stay with friends quite often is quite a common theme. So in some ways for us that's really good, because if everybody turned up who had been referred, we'd have 3 times the number of people that we were allowed to take. And especially with this being our first year, we don't really want to push that in terms of our planning application, which again, you know, was ended up in the news for all the wrong reasons really nationally, because we submitted this planning application back in October. There were no objections. The Bishop of Gloucester was supportive, as well as the Dean and various other people. They wrote letters of support into the council. And on the last day, someone from inside the council actually submitted an objection, which then looked like it was going to scupper the whole thing and put it back until for quite a while. Local pressure, local news, and as it turned out in the end, national news sort of got hold of the story and put a lot of pressure on the council, and the council decided to give us the planning application, which was good. So very much an answer to prayer as well, but very much a pressure thing as well, I think, coming from the national press to the council. We need help with the winter shelter, very much so. We need prayer. It's a real opportunity for people coming in people coming in. It's a great chance for us to share our faith with them. Same as the Wednesdays when people come in for a meal, same as the Tuesdays and the Fridays when we open. We need volunteers. The more volunteers we have, the more we can open. We have to say we're Tuesday and a Friday and a Wednesday morning. Currently, Wednesdays and Thursdays, we don't do anything on those days. If we had the volunteers, maybe we could look at doing something then. We've created some good links with some other agencies as well, and they come in. So we're not looking at reinventing the wheel. We're looking very much at working in partnership with other churches and with other statutory agencies as well, to help signpost people, to help work with people, to find better outcomes for them. But ultimately, you know, like I said at the start, in terms of the mission for Tewkesbury and the mission for churches, our mission is the same as well. Our mission is that we want to see kingdom grow. We want to see people come into us. And they come in, they're broken, they're lost, and we want to see them fixed, and we want to see them healed, and we want to see them declaring our God as Father, and we want to see that kingdom grow. That's, you know, that's ultimately what we want to see. So, you know, very much appreciate your prayers in that. Prayers for our current volunteers. We've had some of our volunteers leave purely because they've just had other things going. One moved to the Isle, which moved back to Guernsey. Quite a long way to come on a Wednesday, isn't it, really? So, you know, she's left us, she's gone back to Guernsey. With a couple of volunteers who have sort of essentially retired, and then others that have got new jobs and they're not able to volunteer with us on a Wednesday. So, you know, our numbers have gone down in some ways, but then they've grown in other ways on other days, and that's encouraging. So we just encourage you in prayer, really, with that, that if you can support us in that, that would be fantastic. And also as well, just for some of the stories we hear and some of the people that we work with, it is quite hard. Some of the stories I won't go into, but they're very, very difficult for some of our volunteers and for our staff to hear. Some of the abuse, some of the situations that people have found themselves in. We work with a couple of people who have been trafficked. We've worked with a couple of people who have, you know, seen some things in the forces that I wouldn't sort of be able to deal with in the slightest. But it's just encouraging that they're able to come in, they're able to talk, they're able to work with us and with other agencies, and that's great. So we just appreciate your support and prayer within that, that we can continue growing, that we can continue establishing links with the right agencies, with the right people, and that, you know, we're always under attack. We know that. We know that there's people who want to see us fail. We know that there's certainly spiritual beings that want us to fail as well. We're very aware of that. And we're aware of how important it is for our volunteers to be protected within that. So a real quick example of that, some of you may have seen in the news late August, early September time, Robinswood Hill in Gloucester, there was a body of a young girl found at Robinswood Hill. She was 24. Issues with alcohol, issues with drugs. There was the potential of street working in there as well, which we sort of weren't really sure about. Our outreach team had picked her up a few times on a Saturday night and spoken with her and done some work with her. She'd been accommodated, she'd lost the accommodation, and she was very vulnerable, you know, very vulnerable 24-year-old girl. She was found dead at Robinswood Hill, and it transpired after that that she actually graduated from the same Bible college 3 years ago that Mike Curtis and I both went to. So how she had declined in that time, you know, that the things going on in her life, those situations were massive, really. And it just really sort of brings that home for me as the manager of GCM, that we have a real responsibility to our volunteers and to our staff, that we provide them with training, we provide them with pastoral support, that we provide them with everything that we can to be as successful in our mission as we, you know, as we want to be. Does that kind of make sense? Yeah, great. So I make that 23 minutes and nobody's stopped me yet. So it's better than asleep, I suppose, so we'll take that. Has anybody got any questions, anything they wanted to know or ask or anything they think, oh, I'm not sure what you said there, I don't believe that, or, you know.
When I've called down to the George Whitfield Centre, the crowd outside, in the next room and the next room, I felt quite intimidated. You know, they could fight with each other. Actually, what's happened is I'm carrying goodies in and thinking they'd be grabbing them out of the boxes. Instead, they're offering to take the boxes off
of me
and carry them in.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real... It's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, we meet people all the time and just kind of think... It's that whole thing about not judging a book by its cover. But it's so... I mean, I'm quick to do it. And as part of my job, I have to do it. I see someone come in and I have to make a bit of a snap judgment sometimes. It's like risk assessing people when they come in. You know, if I think that they've been drinking, or I think they might have been using, or they might be someone who's known to us and they've known to be aggressive or they've known to be violent, then you kind of have that picture in your head of how this might go when they come into the centre. And I get that. I get that, you know, sometimes when people turn up at our venue, it will be intimidating for them because there'll be 50, 60 rough, dirty looking people outside the front who all know how to look after themselves, because over the years when they've been rough sleeping, people have spat at them, urinated on them, poured water over them. We've worked with people that have been set fire to while they've been rough sleeping. So when people go through things like that, they become very aware of their surroundings, and if they think that they could be under attack, or they see someone who they don't recognise and they don't know why they're coming towards them, they get defensive and they get ready. But I think one of the really good things that I see at the George Whitfield Centre is sort of how you've just described, is people turn up with things and there are a lot of people who are ready to help. You know, lots of people who are ready to come and offer their services to us, because actually, you know, we provide them with, you know, with opportunities of like food, clothing, showers, all that sort of stuff. And we don't tend to see much in the way of problems, to be honest. AD goes to Morrison's every Wednesday and he picks up some food from Morrison's. And it's, you know, food that's kind of, they can't sell anymore. You know, like pasta best before, but not past the sell by date. So every Wednesday he goes there and he'll turn up in his van, he'll have trays full. And the amount of people that will go out to his van to help him bring the stuff in, you know, is loads. He didn't have to lift a finger if he didn't want to. You know, bless him, he works hard, Edie. But, you know, they're very keen to come and help us out. And I get that, you know, I get that it can be an intimidating place. And certainly when I first started working in this sort of cohort group of people, I was very, you know, I was probably too young, really, to have started working with it. It was like 13 years ago. I know, what you're thinking. I am young, really. It was very intimidating. For me, it's about Gloucester City Mission and Project Beacon, building those relationships with people, and we get to know them and we break down those barriers and they become less intimidating, which is great and nice to see.
I've been really interested in the work that Gloucester Rugby and the community and the academy
We have Gloucester Rugby, essentially the academy players, come up once a month to the centre and they do a meal. So the head chef of Gloucester Rugby, Will Cavalier, comes up, cooks a meal, the academy players serve it out, and then they'll play table tennis and chat with guys and get them clothes and things out of the store cupboard and towels and toiletries, etc., and spend time talking with them. And that's really the rugby club's way of getting their cut. The slogan they used to me, well, it's not really a slogan, but was not about building good players, but about building good people. So I was quite encouraged by that. Gloucester Rugby Club.
I've looked on the website and a lot of the academy, you know, spoken very positively about it.
They get stuff out of it. You know, we get stuff out of it. It's good publicity for us. Raises the profile of City Mission. Our guys who come in get a meal in an evening when essentially they would have nothing that night. So that's, you know, that's good. It's an opportunity as well for us and the rugby club. to evangelise to the rugby club. There are a few sort of high-profile Christians within the rugby club, and the new coach, the new head coach, is a Christian as well, and his faith is very important to him. So, you know, hopefully, you know, it's an opportunity again there to again, you know, build the kingdom. Let's, you know, they come up to the centre and they see what we're doing and they want to know why we do it, and they, you know, it's great, it's a good opportunity. So, and we also get the fire service as well once a month. They come up once a month as well and do the same sort of thing. Yeah, which is great. We get some first team players come up as well, which is quite nice, because obviously our guys don't get to go to the rugby, and so they come up and they, you know, get clothes, random bits of clothes signed by the rugby players. And
that was the thing that I read, because they get given so much stuff, don't they? The players, I mean, in terms of kit.
Yeah, and when sponsors change, obviously that kit becomes redundant.
Yeah.
So, you know, for a lot of it's waterproof, a lot of it's quite warm, and it's good quality, yeah. So, you know, if we can get some of that stuff come up, you know, that's great. John Afoa, who's probably Gloucester's highest paid player, World Cup winner with New Zealand. He was on his 34th birthday, he was up at the mission serving out food to the guys on his birthday, which is great, you know, great to see.
And
it is, well, it is. I think we've had a good deal out of him though, we're all right. You know, the guys then, we had a guy playing, he had a guitar, and they were all the homeless guys in the centre were singing happy birthday to him, and you know, they loved it, it was great. Good, you know, good time. Paddy McAllister, Tom Savage, they've been quite supportive as well, yeah.
We haven't heard a lot about actually witnessing Jesus. I think we can take it for granted that you actually are doing that all the time, but do you have services there or anything like that?
We don't have specific services, because when Mike set up the mission, it was always the intention that we would be evangelical missional rather than look to become a church. All of the City Mission, all of our funding comes through different churches and individual giving. We have on a Wednesday, we have a rota of volunteers who will give a word for that day. So that'll be generally something based around a psalm or a proverb or a scripture, and they'll relate it, or they'll show, we have a screen a bit like yours here, they'll show a video and relate it into kind of what's happening in people's lives now, which is quite good, and very much an encouragement. We send a prayer box round. We have a prayer team on a Wednesday based in one of the rooms where people can go in for prayer, and we'll advertise that. We have good newspapers around the building as well, so people have got things that they can read there, maybe of people who they would know about, they've seen. We have Bibles and scripture around the building as well, and we'll have worship music playing while they're in on the different sessions, and at night as well when they come into the winter shelter, there'll be worship music playing. So there's lots of there's very much an evangelical feel within what we're doing. Saturday night is very much not an evangelical project, and that was quite deliberate. That was more about building relationships with people and signposting them into the centre on a Wednesday. And that's maybe because some of the people we see on a Saturday night are maybe more chaotic, maybe people who might not come into the centre for various reasons. And also as well, Project Beacon was started before it became involved with Gloucester City Mission. So a lot of its volunteers came from a very secular background as well. So that is changing. We have more Christians going out on a Saturday night now as well. So we probably have a bit of a mixture of the two. But essentially, when Project Beacon first started 4 years ago, it wasn't anything to do with Gloucester City Mission. It was his own project in its own right. So that's why it's probably not as evangelical or on the same line as Gloucester City Mission. Yeah, does that make sense? Yeah, so, but yeah, sort of times of the year like Christmas, you know, it'll be very geared towards, the message will be very geared towards the birth of Christ. Easter, we're now planning our Easter, it'll be an Easter celebration, but we don't call it an Easter celebration to the guys coming in, because they wouldn't understand that, some of them anyway, it wouldn't make any difference to them. But yeah, so again, there'll be a speaker, there'll be things around, and there'll be opportunities. opportunities for people. So, yeah, very much still a very evangelical movement, yeah, but not so much with services. The other thing we do actually as well on Wednesday night is we have like a recovery group, a Christian recovery group called Believers in Recovery. And that's for people who don't get enough recovery within their church, but are not enough church within their recovery. So AA and NA are very much about higher powers. They don't really talk about Jesus, they don't, or anything like that. They're very much about higher powers. And so a lot of Christians from within those organisations, like AA and NA, they'll come and meet together on a Wednesday evening at the George Whitfield Centre, where we're based. And again, that's an opportunity for people to talk about their faith and how their faith has helped them overcome addiction, which is good. You know, keen to see that. Yeah. Anybody else? Very quiet on the front row over here. Very quiet.
I actually did see this homeless chaplain the other day outside Tesco. So I went into Tesco and got him some food for the drink and came out, and he refused it. He said...
Did you get him a sandwich?
I got him a sandwich. But
he doesn't like them, apparently, does he?
But he just said, "I don't need food." He said, "I really want you to give me some money for my mobile phone." So I took the food away, feeling awful, and I had this in my head that maybe I shouldn't give him money. And it was just a really, I found it quite a horrible situation to be.
Yeah.
They can be very manipulative.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, very much so.
We know. I think we all know who we're talking about, and it will be bus fare.
I don't know who you're talking about specifically. I've heard of him. I heard of him the other week at Tewkesbury Baptist. Thank you. Yeah. There's a couple of people there were talking to me about him afterwards. And one of the ladies was saying he doesn't like sandwiches. He's quite fussy. But apparently he's got. Apparently somebody from one of the churches gave him a camping stove, yeah, type of thing.
Yeah.
So people give him lots of like tin stuff, and he cooks a lot of his own stuff, and I think he's quite self-sufficient in that way. I mean, money for a mobile phone, maybe. I'd want to know how he charges his mobile phone. If he is just sleeping, that would be my sort of first question. But it might be that he gets into the library and he charges it in the library or local shop. Or, you know, there's maybe people charge it for him, bring it back to him. I don't know. We do have a lot of homeless people have phones. Maybe it was for drugs, maybe it was for alcohol. I don't know because I don't know him. But certainly, you know, people approach us all the time for money, and they use a variety of. Variety of reasons for wanting that money, from needing bus fare to go to X, Y, and Z because, you know, their partners or their mum's dying and they've got to go and see their mum and she's up in Edinburgh, so they need. So, you know, we offer to go and buy them a ticket to go up to Edinburgh. They don't want that. You know, so it's, you sort of start getting a bit of an idea then that maybe this person's maybe not as genuine as, you know, as you sort of first think. But yeah, you know, it's. Like I say, I don't know him, but certainly I think a lot of people do know him, so I'd be surprised if certainly the outreach teams and stuff don't know him. So, yeah. But some people do very well for food and things like that, especially if they've got the right equipment. We've got one guy in Gloucester that, you know, if we offered him a flat tomorrow, he wouldn't take it, because for him, it's very much a lifestyle choice about being out. He's got tents and, you know, he's very well kind of, not looked after, but he's very well supported. So he's got all his own equipment, and he gets on and does his own thing, and he's very happy doing that. So, he doesn't beg, maybe begs a little bit, I suppose, doesn't he, in the archway. Certainly not aggressive, you know, he just sit there. Sometimes it's difficult, yeah. Okay, I very much have spoken longer than I anticipated, so if you have got any more questions, we're around afterwards, and we're happy to talk to anybody. Thank you very much for having us as well.